Welcome to Spiritually Fierce, the podcast. I am your host, Dr. Ricky Jane Adams, principal and founder of the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence and creator of the Spiritually Fierce movement. Spiritually Fierce is not just a phrase. It is a movement of awakening consciousness of which we are all a part, if we want to be. In each episode, we'll explore what it means to be spiritually fierce, how to become it, and why it is the revolution in consciousness that will save the world. Join me and my fierce guests for deep conversations on spirituality beyond the trinkets and superstitions of the new age that will support you to increase your power to serve. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Spiritually Fierce, the podcast. And in this season, we are all about the theme of transformation. And I am joined by the delicious Shanae Carey, who I just love and have had the pleasure of knowing for like 5 years now. I mean, it feels significant. It's a significant amount of time. Yeah. And you have been on this podcast before. In fact, I think you were right back in season one when we were talking about writing and your book, which you might have a copy of here now. I don't know. We might get to talk more about that.
Maybe.
Is your business a prison? And I'm going to tell you a little bit about Shanae, but then I will let her tell you all the most glorious parts because she is our resident celebrity. I do feel like if you want something to be very shiny and amazing, get Shanae involved. She brings lots of joy wherever she goes. But, you know, combined with a good amount of, what's the word I want to use? Unfuckwithedness, right? It's not light and fluffy. It's like, it's real grounded joy. That's how I would describe it. So Shanae is an intuitive business mentor who specializes in businesses run by women. Her work bridges the gap between practical strategy and intuitive guidance. Highly motivated by her value of freedom as she sits in a van in, you know, tropical North Queensland and a strong desire to not feel imprisoned by her business, Shanae is a demonstration of how to use your business as a vehicle of transformation. And, you know, every single word of that is just like a living, breathing thing within you. Sometimes I read bios and I'm like, but I'm like, yeah, that is you. So my darling, that's the formal bio, but I would love for you just to tell us to start off, get it for people who don't know you or people who are getting to know you better. How did you bring intuitive and business together? Because they're not necessarily an obvious choice for everybody.
So I started my business out as a muggle. I was very much wedded to the 3D. I probably shouldn't say that when you're drinking a green smoothie. Sorry about that. And I very much worked in the 3D, helping people with the practical aspects of marketing themselves on social media. And I did pretty well. I was pretty happy. And then I found the Institute and I found you. And things changed a lot as a result of that. So in going through that initiation and tapping into what I couldn't describe as my intuition way back when, in those early days, I went on that journey, did the things, continued with the muggle business on the side. And then it wasn't until I was in the postgrad, we were in a one-on-one hot seat, you and I, and everything became very, very clear that the intuition training, the robust and very rigorous intuition training that I had received, could work in conjunction with the very 3D, very practical business stuff. And it was, and I will never forget, you did this and said, it's the nexus of these two. And that moment is, you know, burnt into my consciousness because it was so pivotal for me. And that I thought I had to be either or. So I threw the baby out with the bathwater with that muggle business when I was like, no, I love this. I love this work. I want to teach intuition, and threw everything away. I don't recommend that. But I then sunk my teeth and all of my being into the intuition piece. But then there was still something missing as well for me. And so when those two came together and I could intuitively guide people through their business growth journeys, my business actually exploded, like exponentially. And I ended up with the financial revenue that I had been working towards for a very long time. And I hit six-figure annual revenue, and I haven't looked back ever since. And I keep going from strength to strength and exploring different things within that space. But bringing those two together was the catalyst for that really significant growth and transformation in my business.
Yeah, I love that. There's so many things I want to pick up on. But, you know, one of the methodologies of our path of intuitive intelligence is that it's an embodied state of being. It's a way of life. It's not just a party trick or, you know, something you use when you want to ask a question of your pendulum. And you are the demonstration of that. But I think I would love for you to talk about this, because I know so many women want to create a spiritual or intuitive business and do abandon everything else they've ever trained in, every degree they've got. And I have never met someone whose previous career didn't somehow inform what they were then meant to create through that spiritual intuitive lens, which was obviously your experience. But is that something that you find with those that you serve? Like, all parts of us, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's like as we walk along our journey of not just life but business as well, we collect tools, experiences, moments, whatever it might be, and that is what forms and shapes us as our, you know, as our human experience. And so it would be remiss of us to assume that the things that brought us to this point couldn't then support us as we move forward. So it happens quite a lot. The challenge I see with people is not wanting to take all of those modalities and throw them out into the world and hope that people will understand what it is that they're speaking about. So that's kind of where my work comes into it. It's like, what do you do for people? You know, those modalities are really important, but what is it that is actually happening as a result of that for people? And that's kind of where I go in that space and help that transformation, because that's obviously the theme of the season, from I've got all of these things and here's a list of my modalities to here is the transformation that I can help facilitate for you in your life.
Yeah, I love that. Talk about your why, not your what. It is like a, you know, thank you to Simon Sinek for that. But it is so difficult. And I think you're in such a wonderful position because there are so many passionate, spiritual, heart-centered women who want to create great change, but who do get caught up in the way that they can articulate what they do. And I think you finding that for yourself and bringing all parts of you to the table is such a powerful demonstration of, you know, not abandoning everything that's come before and just being like, this is it. I think for us personally, that can be really important, right? Like if you are in a spiritual awakening, go at it, like bring all of it, you know, your attention to it and shut out anything that distracts you from that. But in terms of what we're creating in our service in the world, I think the grains of the service are in everything that have come before. And how do I harness that? How do I bring that together? And yeah, again, I find that so important that you're there supporting women to find their voice and talk about it in the world. I know that wasn't really a question, but I just love
That's
what
okay.
You do. So, so my darling, you are the embodiment of that, everything you say, that journey to not be imprisoned by your service, to have entrepreneurial freedom. And you have made some big, bold leaps in your own life recently. I want to know, I guess, really, what does it mean for you to be free inside of your business? Because it's hard work to run your own business, right? A lot harder, I think, than going to a day job. So what is that freedom piece about for you?
So much. But if I boil it all down to what that looks like for me is to be able to do whatever I please with my time and have my business support that. And I think the distinction is, as you said, it's hard work. It's not effort none. It's not effortless. There is an effort. But for me, there is this really strong motivation, this really strong desire to do it my way, You know, it might be perhaps a little stubborn as well in that regard, but to do it my way on my terms, my business is the vehicle that helps me to do that. So I am all in. There is no negotiating. I'm not, you know, teetering. Oh, maybe I should go and get a job. I am 100% committed to that, because what it provides to me is the freedom to, I mean, I'm now the sole breadwinner in our relationship. There's two of us and a dog. We don't have any dependent children without fur. And my business financially supports us to live on the road, and we get to travel and explore and have adventures. And sometimes it's really hard, but it's the vehicle, quite literally the vehicle, because I'm in a camper van full time. But the business is the vehicle for me to spend my time however I see fit. And so there is that freedom is, if I want to walk on the beach, I can walk on the beach. If I want to go and buy X, Y, and Z, I can go and buy X, Y, and Z. And my business is what supports me to do that.
I think that's a really beautiful definition again of the difference with freedom is not laziness or not showing up. It, like, freedom is or can be a growth zone. It's not just like that apathy or that whatever, I don't need to try. And I think that distinction, again, you demonstrate so beautifully that freedom is worth sweating for.
Yeah.
And it isn't about, yeah, just not showing up or only showing up when it feels good. Like, some days you got to show up even when it doesn't feel great, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that understanding, because I share that yearning for freedom, and feel very excited that you do have not only that philosophy, but a whole book on understanding entrepreneurial freedom and how to create it. But the space that you occupy, I will talk a little bit about your current circumstance. So you left a lovely apartment in a lovely location with a lot of things in that space that supported you to do what you do really pretty easily. Beautiful space, lots of beautiful things, all of it, to put yourself into a van to travel. And there's a lot of joy in that as well, but there's also a lot of challenge in that for anybody, mm-hmm. regardless of whether they were trying to work as well as move around the place. And I guess that's what excites me about your version of freedom, is that you actually leapt out of your comfort zone to leap into a van, because that freedom for you is not about sitting in the comfort zone. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yeah, 100%. So I have enough proof, not that we need proof, but sometimes it's very helpful for our brains. I have enough proof that leaping outside of my comfort zone when something feels big and bold, the fruits that come from that leap are vast and wild and rich and delicious. And I don't get that depth of whether it's good, bad, or otherwise, because, as I said, and you've echoed, it's not always easy. This is hard. And I don't get that. I don't know. I guess for me, it's like I could live in here in this little box and, you know, have my predictable, expected experiences. But I kind of want more from this human life that I've got in this iteration. And so it's worth the discomfort to then have that bigger experience of what is possible. But I'm not attached to it being all sunshine and roses, because it's the spectrum and all of that. And so, yes, I feel lots of really beautiful, amazing things. And I also am at the other end of that, navigating, as you know, we spent some time looking at this together this week. I'm navigating some shit, some gnarly shit as well. But that bigness, like, is that not what life is about?
Yeah, I love that. And I think ultimately, you know, we could say the full statement of what we both value is freedom from fear, right? Like, that's ultimately it. And you know, you have trained as a fear huntress with the Institute. How important is that to the work that you do now as an intuitive business mentor? I mean, I feel like I know the answer, but I'd love to know how you work with fear as a tool of freedom with those that you serve and in your own life.
Well, what I have seen is there are a lot of people who do business coaching, for starters. But what my training offers me is, like, people don't come to me to stay in their comfort zones. They know, and I'm quite explicit about this, is that if you want to grow than that, you know, the concentric circles in that diagram of the comfort zone all the way through to the growth zone. You've got to go through fear and you've got to go through learning. That's why people are coming to me, because I'm pretty adamant that, like, I'm not going to pander to that littleness that the perhaps some other business coaches might. And so what that means is that when I spot, and I have a pretty sharp sensor and detector on this, if I spot a self-sabotage or there's something that's manifesting in a certain way in a business that might be from, let's say, a particular client, I will say, and I'm respectful and I do it in a consent-based way, but I will highlight that and we'll go and explore that and we'll go, let's take a look at this. What's going on here? Because all of the strategy in the world won't propel your business forward if the dominant program sitting in your subconscious is, I am not worthy, because that worthiness will thwart all of the efforts in the 3D world to move that business, regardless of what the goals might be for that person. And so, yeah, I mean, I could go off on a bunch of different tangents there, but for the sake of brevity, I might just leave it at that.
I think what you're sharing is so important, though, because there's a specialized skill in the way that you use intuition as a business mentor. And I think that is what makes your work so in demand and remarkable. And that, you know, you're trained in business, you have an understanding of it in a very applied, lived way, but you've also invested in that training. And you've also invested in the other column of intuition, so that when you are working with someone, it is that laser-like precision to be able to go in like a surgeon and be like, pull out that fear, pull out that obstruction that is preventing their growth, expansion, freedom, and success in their business. And I, you know, you have gone all the way through the institute. If I had another level after the postgraduate program, I would happily have you in it. But you are, you know, at the highest level of qualification in our tertiary training institute. Why did it matter for you to train your intuition, I guess, in the way that you had trained yourself as a business person?
Well, I'm not about perfectionism, but I'm definitely about excellence. And that's what made the institute so appealing to me in the beginning, was like the standard of excellence, the ethics. It's not just, you know, spirituality for spirituality's sake. There is a very rigorous nature to how the institute teaches. And that for me, I didn't know otherwise, but that I believe I'm quite privileged in a sense that I haven't got much external experience. This was my initiation into exploring my own intuition in that journey. So, because of that and being magnetized to it, it felt very congruent. And so I was able to stack beside, you know, my excellent training over here, my excellent training when it comes to intuition. And it's not frivolous. And there's a real, I think, for me, the ethics are really important as well, but there is, it's backed, you know, it's not just, oh, this is this way because of this particular thing and everybody else says so. I'm like, I can tell you how this works and I can tell you why it works this way and I can justify and back up as I need to. And that, because if I'm going to combine it with business, feels like a good match. Otherwise, they feel really disconnected. So I'm very qualified in all of the things that I can do. And that is what gives me the confidence to be able to do what I do at the level that I do it, and for people to pay me for that.
And you do, you know, create then very specific laser-like targeted change for those you serve. And I think that grounding, as you say, is the superpower or the advantage over someone else who might just, okay, I feel intuitive. Yeah, everybody's intuitive, but I might feel like a lawyer, but if I never went to law school, it doesn't qualify me, right? And I think our shared vision is that, and that's why the Institute matters to you, is that we create regulation in an unregulated industry so that you can actually measure the level of skill. Because yes, intuitive is a birthright, but a skilled, masterful practitioner of intuition doesn't land into that without training, just as we would want to know that our surgeon has probably gone to doctor school. I'm sure they don't call it doctor school. And I'm guessing, you know, that you probably end up serving a lot of spiritual-minded women, I imagine, because, you know, like attracts like, and there's a lot of us out there who benefit from you. What would you say is the biggest impediment for most spiritual identifying folk out there to creating success in their service?
Finding balance between the 3D and the 5D, because the non-spiritualized folk are very wedded to the 3D. But on the other side of that, there is a lot of, you know, meditating on a mountaintop, if you will, which doesn't create a great deal of change without the 3D action in the world. And so there is a lot of ideas generated. There is a lot of inspiration. There is a lot of creativity. The sacral chakra is very much a place where I don't usually have to do much work with people in that particular place, because that's turned on and in its fullest expression. Usually it's taking things up a little higher to things like the throat. So visibility, consistency, doing things in the 3D that support the 5D, that's one of the biggest impediments that I find.
Oh yes, I have seen that story many a time, and I think it's so important again that you're offering that anchoring into the world, because if this is not applied, like if our spirituality and intuition isn't applied to business or anything else, then we're just, you know, we're making noise without creating any change in the world. And I think that's ultimately the goal of any woman or person who yearns to show up to a spiritual business, is you want to make things better for other people. It's also so interesting how people so often misidentify something as their intuition, and actually it's their fear or it's their nervous system dysregulation. And how do you support someone to kind of recognize the difference between true intuition and a fear response?
I use my hands quite a bit, and I usually say to people, because I get asked all the time, how do I tell the difference? How do I know? And the easiest way I know to explain it to people is, you know, the intuition, the fear, nervous system dysregulation, whatever that might be that is not the intuition. The intuition, for want of a better word, lands, and there is not story. It's not all the bits and pieces and all of that. It's usually clear. It's usually concise. And there's not an attachment to any kind of emotion. That's where the fear comes in. What if the questions, the doubts, the uncertainties, the all of that sort of stuff. And what I say to people is, like, this will continue to happen. It's your job to widen the gap between the two so that you can differentiate between this. And I'm like, I can't do that for you. I can help guide you and, you know, support you as you navigate that. And you can share what you're perceiving might be this or that. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you can widen the gap between your fears and your intuition by working on them, excavating them, exploring them, this just gets to continue to do its thing. There's actually nothing that needs to happen with the intuition piece. We don't have to work on it or improve it or strengthen it necessarily. It's the blocks, the impediments, the things that get in the way that happen sometimes almost instantaneously after that is received, the whatever it might be. And that's what we work on. This doesn't need the work. This needs the work.
Yeah, I love that. And hence the reason why, you know, you qualify as a fear huntress in the Institute, because when we know how to support our clients to release their subconscious fear, the intuition just comes online in the way God intended. So because we do have your beautiful book with us, I want you to tell me just a little bit about what the benefit to understanding If My Business Is a Prison, and we will share the links to Sinead's book, Is Your Business a Prison? But I guess really, like, you know, is it possible even to run a business that doesn't at some point feel like a prison? Oh, there's a good provocative question for you.
That's a great question. I think the short answer is, to be perfectly honest, no. I don't think it's possible to run one that doesn't at some point feel like a prison. And the effort conversation comes back into play here. The effort doesn't disappear the more successful you are, the more income you generate, the longer you're in business. That effort does, it actually amplifies. So, you know, your initiation into getting it established, and if it becomes a viable business, and that's an if, not a when, because not all businesses become viable, Just because you have an idea does not mean that it is something that people want and will pay for. So if it becomes viable, there is then a new set of challenges at every growth level. So to answer your question, no, I don't think it's possible to have that. However, in an extended state of imprisonment, if you will, it is very hard to gain any momentum. So it is in our best interests, if we're, running our own businesses, to free ourselves as much as we possibly can so that we're not chained to our desk, feeling like we're working 15 times more hours than we were in, a 9 to 5, if that's what we've come from, and all of the other things. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I love that because it's really suggesting the most important thing, which is freedom is a mindset or a state of being, right? And it's available to us even on the days where you got to slog hard and meet a deadline. And that, I think, is the gift of what you offer, is that recognition that actually I love what I do. And it's still hard some days, but I don't want to create a life where it's like reducing my hours and then completely outsourcing it. I actually want to do my job because I love it. But that idea of freedom being, I will never have to show up, which is not the paradigm, versus freedom being, no matter what I have to do, I can show up in that liberated energy. And I think that's the gift that your book offers and, your example offers as well. Amazing. I want to know what is next for Sinead Carey Coaching. Have you got, I mean, you don't have to reveal details, but like, do you feel that intuitive vision of 5, 10, 15 years from now?
Yes, I mean, in the more short term, I'll probably be producing another book soon enough, which in true Shanae style will be very practical. Like, this book is very thin because there's work to do. It's not a just read it from cover to cover, like a Brené Brown book you might read from cover to cover. But then when I sense what could potentially be a little bit further down the track, I know that this experience of abandoning the comforts and the, reliability of living in a fixed location, this is a catalyst for some body of work that is yet to come. Now, I am very much an advocate of don't try to teach it whilst you're in the middle of it and haven't, mined the gold, because sometimes we're still in a little bit of that. Yeah, the teacher and leader energy is sometimes hard to connect with when we're in it, in some instances. So I know full well that that's not a now thing, but there is definitely something on the horizon to connect some of these dots into the work that I do. And there is definitely the business model will be very, very different down the track. And it won't be as you say, I won't reduce my hours and outsource everything. It's just that there is another iteration that it will morph into in the years to come. But for now, it's paying the bills, it's doing the things. I enjoy the people that I work with, and it works.
Yeah, and you are very freaking good at it.
I like to hope so.
Thank you, my gorgeous sister and friend. And it is, yeah, just a joy to come inside the van and see the lived experience of that, and also just to, yeah, hear you reflecting on your work, as it is now and where you're going with it. But it is such a value, because getting us spiritual folk to sit the fuck down and get on with creating something practical is not an easy task. So I bow to you, because we can be very flighty. And it's important that there's someone there just holding us to manifest something beautiful in the world. Blessings on your continued journey. I love hearing all about it and the updates, and mostly I'm just jealous of the fact that it's so warm where you are. That's just a me thing, though. And we'll share all the links to your book and your website in the show notes. And anything final thoughts you want to share with us before we let you get back to the beach or whatever comes next for today? Oh, you
It's a
said
little
it's
bit crap. Yeah, it's a little bit crappier today. It's a bit cloudy, so maybe not the beach today. I think what would be a lovely little thing to wrap up on is that old saying that we've all heard is that the good stuff, the joy, the magic, however you want to kind of phrase it, happens on the other side of fear. And another way to say that is outside of the comfort zone. So, have a little leap. It can just be a little one. It doesn't have to be like mine and be incredibly huge. But a little leap outside the comfort zone can bring a whole lot of magic into our world. So I just want to leave anyone who's listening with that invitation.
Jema, I could not agree more. Thank you so much to everyone who has joined us, and we'll see you all again very soon.